You know, I just love popping the mic on and saying happy Friday, everybody. So happy Friday, everybody. It is the John DeBella Show Daily Podcast. Welcome, welcome. Dave here. All the best stuff for this June 8th on the John DeBella Show. And, what the heck did we talk about today? Well, Steve broke our intern this morning, but luckily she recovered for the rest of the show, where we found out that IHOP is changing its name. There's something called World War II Bomber Camp. And John shared the top 10 things to consider before getting into radio. You can now own a piece of Strawberry Fields. Cindy Graham had a rather interesting voice today. We shared classic rock recording mistakes. That was really cool. Really fun bit we did there. And comedian Chip Chantry joined us once again. And we teased this weekend's U2 tickets that we're going to be giving out. And if you're going to tune in to win a pair of those, well, you might as well check out the wonderful weekend shows that Steve and I command on Saturday and Sunday nights. Have a listen, folks. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you again on Monday. It's a daily podcast.
Steve broke the intern this morning.
Is she okay?
Well, Steve was going to tell a story that we felt was unfit for the intern to be in the room for. So we asked her to leave, and she disappeared completely. We lost Khaleesi for 20 minutes.
She's fighting dragons.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
All right.
She was riding them.
Oh, that's true.
I don't watch.
Get together, dude.
They're our buddies.
Eight seasons.
Overrated.
All right. Eight seasons, overrated. Okay, yeah.
Most watched show on television.
Right.
Overrated.
Probably that Seinfeld thing didn't work out either.
Dave's still watching Columbo.
Sitcom suck.
The John DeBella Podcast.
Play that funky music, white boy.
102.9.
What do you want, man? You tripping.
MGK.
Ahead of us is a very big change in the restaurant community. I don't know if you've heard about this. Do you hear about the IHOP change?
Are they changing their name? That wasn't a joke.
No, that's not a joke.
I thought it was
changing
like
the name to IHOB. They're changing the P to a B.
They're flipping it upside down.
They're flipping it upside down. Yeah. General IHOB, right? So, International House of what? Breakfast?
I guess so.
Bacon?
What is the explanation?
They haven't made one. They haven't made an explanation.
Who does this?
I don't know. Maybe it's going to be the International House of Burritos. I'm not sure. There's no explanation.
Hope so.
Probably the main reason is to get us to do what we're doing right now.
Are they a sponsor here?
Right. No.
All right, good, because it's crap anyway.
Is it
horrible?
I grew up across from one.
Terrible.
I've never been.
I had a girlfriend in college who worked at an IHOP, and whenever she would come home from work at night, I would be standing at the door just pointing at the bathroom. I just go shower now because you smell like pancakes.
Yep.
I mean, and not like pancakes, like pancake flour and
batter.
Yeah, that's what you smell like. The whole international community, by the way, is totally, I'm just confused over this whole thing.
The International House of Pancakes, also known as IHOP, will soon change its name to IHOB. While there's no word yet on what the B will stand for, this is clearly a violation of the Helsinki Pancake Accords of 1941. To maintain their international status, IHOP must first submit in triplicate all name change requests to the United Nations Security Council Pancake Division, along with photographic proof that a foreigner has ever actually eaten there, and or video evidence that any IHOP customer has ever left the continental United States. Pending the approval of the Council's five permanent members, IHOP must pledge to a 20% across-the-board reduction in stickiness. Seriously, is it us, or is everything at IHOP covered in a thin layer of syrup?
The John DeBella Podcast.
Oh, go away, Baton!
Philadelphia's classic rock, 102.9 MGK.
With the Radiothon coming up, and of course, with the Radiothon, there'll be the Harold Cap Challenge once again.
Yes.
My wife put up $5,000, and she will match every $100 donation with another $100 donation. And she got matched again this year by an anonymous donor who has matched her for the past 2 years, right, with another $5,000. So on the Radiothon, for every time we get up to $10,000, for every time we get a $100 donation, they will match it with another $100 donation. So please, if you can make a $100 donation, do that. Because and if you want to go to the website, you can go to the website and match it right now.
Oh, cool.
There's the Harold Cap Challenge is one of the things you could check off and donate $100 that way. Speaking of which, my father-in-law, my late father-in-law, was a decorated World War II navigator in a B-17. All right. And, you know, there's camp and then there's experiences. How would you like this? Bomber camp.
What is this?
Bomber camp is you get to fly around in a vintage World War II B-17 and, you know, you're immersed in it. Once you get to shoot machine guns, drop dummy bombs,
what?
Right, on ground targets while flying around in this B-17 or a consolidated B-24 bomber, right? Plus, you get to rotate positions in the plane. You don't get to pilot. If you're not a pilot, you don't get to pilot the plane, right? But you get all kinds of training activities, firefighting, radio ops, the ball turret. You get to shoot in the ball turret.
This is awesome.
Yeah.
Where do you have to go for this?
It doesn't say where it is, but if you want to find out about it, just go to bombercamp.com and it's all going to be there. I know Cindy is already filling out the forms.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Because I know, ball turret is what you're all about. Please let me hang upside down and shoot at things.
The John DeBella Podcast.
My, he is tenacious, isn't he?
102.9.
Joe Mouth Boy. Zip it.
MGK.
Do you know that June is National DJ Month?
We
actually got them out. Well, we had a day for the longest time, but June is DJ month.
Okay,
that's pretty cool.
So we could celebrate.
How? I'd like to celebrate, but yeah, depends on how.
Yeah, right. I don't know. We could just leave now. That would be a way of taking the day off.
Fine by me.
We'll leave it in sexy Cindy's voice. right, you know, or I could tell you all of the reasons, all of the things you should ask yourself before you pursue a career in radio.
That could be helpful for me 12 years ago.
Yeah, right.
Right. Sounds like a list, huh?
Yeah.
All right, here they are. The top questions you should ask yourself before pursuing a career in radio. Number 10, can I handle it when my kid begs me not to come to school for career day? Right. Number 9, do you have a face for radio?
Meh.
Yes. Okay, good. All right. Number 8. Do I sound condescending enough for a career at NPR? All right. Number 7. Will I get addicted to methamphetamines for trying to stay awake if I work at a smooth jazz station?
Oh, boy.
All right. Number 6. If I get the night shift, well, I'll be too tired to drive for Uber during the day.
Important.
Number 5. Can I be part of a threesome with the clever name of Paul Bevan Butt Plug? All right. Number 4, does my religion allow me to celebrate Rocktober in September? Number 3, is there anything more conducive to a great social life than having to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning? Oh,
so true.
Right. Number 2, are they hiring at Starbucks? Right. And the number 1 question you should ask yourself before pursuing a career in radio, can I avoid killing myself while doing a top 10 list?
The John DeBella Podcast.
There's something unholy about this.
Philadelphia's classic rock.
You must be prepared for the consequences.
102.9.
What about consequences?
MGK.
Strawberry Fields Forever ending breakfast at the Beatles this morning. Dave and I were just commenting. His drum heads are so loose on that song.
Yeah. Really
right?
Resonant.
Right, Ringo, obviously. There's a song I would love to find the isolated drums to.
Because
he's got so many different beats going on.
At the end, it's very freeform. He's basically doing tribal fills and sort of a shuffle.
Yeah.
Really cool drum.
Speaking of Strawberry Fields, so we can get Steve into the conversation, because once we start talking instruments, Steve's gone.
Steve's a strawberry expert.
I am. You know? Yes, I am, Dave. Thank you.
But you can own part of Strawberry Fields now.
Is that right?
Yeah. Well, from what I understand, the wall around the property is still there, but the building has been torn down. Right. And John Lennon's sister is trying to raise money for the Salvation Army. It was a Salvation Army home for children. Right. It was a place that used to have lawn parties and things. And John would jump the wall. Him and his friend Pete would jump the wall and go into the parties. And it was a big part of his life. Right. So anyway, they tore the building down and they're selling bricks from Strawberry Fields from the building, right? And they're labeled and numbered. There's only 2,500 of them. They're $100 a piece, and they're all trying to rebuild the space, explain what the Salvation Army's mission was, right? And how it affected John Lennon's life, and have a whole like building and display from the sale of the bricks. So I'm not sure exactly where one would go in order to order one of those bricks, but more than likely, if you go online and just put in Strawberry Fields, bricks, right? You're going to get to where you could buy one.
The John DiBella Podcast.
Don't ever, ever, ever touch
John DiBella.
You understand?
Philadelphia's classic rock, 102.9.
Don't touch it!
MGK.
We've been talking about this morning. Classic rock mistakes. Over the years, there have been, mistakes get done in recordings all the time, right? Sometimes the band just chooses to leave them in. They think they're cool, right? Other times, they're impossible to get out, and they just end up leaving, you know, staying there. I'll give you an idea, right? When Led Zeppelin was recording Physical Graffiti, one song in particular, Black Country Woman, they were recording it outside in Mick Jagger's garden, as a matter of fact. They're recording it outside, and all of a sudden, an airplane comes up overhead, and they're going to hold for it, and then Jimmy goes, no, leave it in. I'm like, if you ever listen to a song...
Can we roll it, Jimmy? We're rolling on...
Listen to the airplane in the background.
Not leave it, right?
You know, and then, of course, the one that, you know, everybody knows this, but I don't think people realize that it was a mistake, is Uncomfortably Numb, is the cough that happens in it. You know, this is supposed to sound like the guy was listening to the radio, right? And everybody convinced David Gilmour that, you know, no, leave the cough in. It sounds like the guy's there listening to the radio, you know? But the cough is like a real hack. Here we go. When Gilmour...
You lifted that up a little, didn't you?
Well, yeah, I lifted it up so you could really hear it.
I didn't realize how raw that was.
After he heard it, he decided... It's time to stop smoking.
Oh, my God.
And he stopped smoking after hearing that recording. But they all insisted that he leave the cough in. Right? And it really is. It is. Right here, let me isolate it.
Gross.
All right. Wow. Steve.
So I found something from The Who. Now, we know that Roger Daltrey stutters a bit in My Generation. And he became famous for it.
Yeah, it was on purpose.
Right. But did you know that there's a mess up in Eminence Front?
All right. You told me about this yesterday.
Yeah.
Explain.
So at about the 2:38 mark in Eminence Front, Pete Townsend comes in about a syllable or so behind Daltrey. And that's because Pete screwed up on the words that he was supposed to say. It's supposed to be "It's an Eminence Front,"
right,
which Roger says. Pete says "Behind an Eminence Front," which they're both supposed to say at the same time. So Pete saying "behind" put him behind.
Okay. All right. So it's coming up right here.
Yeah.
That's bad.
Yeah.
I never noticed that.
Yeah. So it's at the behind end right here going.
Front. It's literally a humana.
His humana comes in real late.
You know what that is? It's when I'm not paying attention and we have a caller and they say Booyakasha and you guys say Booyakasha and you hear me in the background, Booyakasha.
Yeah, 6:10 break. You're very guilty of that.
All right, Dave, where are you taking us?
I'm going to Skynyrd land.
All right.
During the last minute of the Skynyrd Sweet Home Alabama, if you listen closely, there's another one, listen closely, and roughly around the 4:10 mark, it certainly sounds like he's saying, my donuts, goddamn.
Right.
Oh, my donuts, goddamn. The band went for takeout during a late night session recording this, and as legend has it, upon their return, one of Van Zandt's bandmates either sits or swipes one of his donuts. He's in the booth cutting his vocals, and he sees something happen to his donuts.
So this at the end of the song, because you everybody knows the goddamn.
Right.
Right.
But listen for the my donuts.
My donuts. Okay.
Sweet home, but I'm coming home too.
Don't take his donuts. He's cutting vocals. He used to say, shut it up.
Lastly, and this one is a double crime. I think in the past we may have mentioned this before on Van Halen's Everybody Wants Some. David Lee Roth was supposed to be singing the line, I've seen a lot of people take a ride on a moonbeam.
Uh-huh.
But it came out, it got totally jumbled up, and it came out, I don't even know I could say it the way he says it. You take a moopah, waka pa a moopai. All right? Listen to this. What is that? Here it is. Take a moopah, waka pa a moopai.
It It makes about as much sense as I've seen a lot of people take a ride on a moonbeam.
So. Yeah, right.
That's true.
But then toward the end of the song, you know where Eddie does these things at the end of the song? He's going, there you go. Is those big guitar strums?
Yeah.
Right. Well, when they're coming out of this part, right, the first one is just supposed to be the guitar strum, and then David's supposed to come in.
Okay.
And now David wasn't paying attention.
I like
it. And now he goes.
I like the way the line runs up the back of the stocking.
Right, so
that's
it was
hilarious.
Right,
they kept it too.
You know what it was? It was probably at such a part where there was no way it was going to leak through somewhere else. Uh-huh. So, you know.
I like it.
Step right on him.
I like the way the line runs up the back of the stocking.
So, ladies and gentlemen, so that we can all you take a moopa apalaka and look at a moopy, right? Let's just do it all.
The John DeBella Podcast.
Must be tough spanking your monkey.
Honey, you got real ugly.
102.9 MGK.
Come on, Cindy, with your sick voice, say mekalaka muka moopy.
I can't say that with any voice. God, all right.
How is that you?
I can't hear you without hearing the Iranian actress. The hell's her name?
I know who you're talking about. Ashalupa
Karamosumusu.
All you needed to say was Iranian actress.
Yeah.
She was in 24.
That's what you said. Yeah, she's
the one from 24. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yep. All right.
She's always like the hot mom.
She's like hot an grandma octave now, away from being Stephen Hawking.
All right.
The John DeBella Podcast.
Listen, we're doing a radio thing here. Go with it.
102.9.
Screw you, DeBella!
MGK.
And your imaginary Corvette! Ladies and gentlemen.
The one and only.
The one and only Chip Chantry. How are you, sir?
Good, man. How are you?
I am doing great. It is good to see you. You are refreshing. When you come in here, you are always refreshing. I hope you had a fine week and have been having a great life since we last saw you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You're the first person to ever say that to me. Okay. That feels good.
All right.
I'm glad that's on the radio.
Obviously, you have no friends. It's Best Friend Day, by the way.
Thank you. Yes.
Right. Yeah. And I'm looking for somebody who would bail me out in case I'm in jail. So
I could do that.
So, okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't have any money, but I could be nice to the cops, I think.
Okay.
Maybe sweet talk them for a little while.
So things good for you?
They're good. I was in Ocean City this week. So
okay.
I'm tan and mosquito bitten at the same time.
Oh, okay.
It's a nice and a red on red. I was driving out there, though. On the Atlantic City Expressway, I realize everybody gets the wrong vehicle. They buy the wrong vehicle for themselves. They get the ones they think they need, but not the ones they really. Every time I would drive past a pickup truck, anytime you'd go past a pickup truck, nothing is ever in the back. It's just empty.
Right.
They know no need.
Yeah.
Empty. Every time you go past like a little tiny Nissan Sentra, piles of crap in the back seat. Just switch up those cars. Think about it next time. That's all you need. No, but I was down there, and we were down on the boardwalk, you know, because we're fancy people.
Uh-huh.
And we're walking around the little amusement park, and they have my favorite ride still. I can't believe it's still there, the log flume. Everybody
okay.
loves the log flume.
Yeah, the log for sure.
I love
sure.
the log flume because it's just – it combines the old-timey charm of lumberjacks with today's complete lack of safety regulations. Any other ride you go on, everybody's so nervous that you're going to sue, somebody's going to – so it's like roller coaster. It's like three straps and a lap bar, and you get the harness over your shoulders. You're not going anywhere. Not the log flume, though. They're like, no, just come on in. Just hop on this hollowed-out coffee table on a conveyor belt. We'll drop you 100 feet into a plastic gutter filled with filth water. Have fun!
Oh God! Hey, do you still have that Wookiee It's more of a.
I mean, he's an Ewok Wookiee mix.
Ewok, that you call a dog.
Yes, he's not really a canine. He's definitely from Endor. Yeah, he's my dog Stanley. He's gorgeous. My little Shih Tzu. My wife and I have him. He's great. We had to take him to the vet though recently. We were worried. We thought he had eye problems.
Uh-huh.
We thought he was blind. We'd drop food on the floor and he wouldn't be able to find it. Like we're like, oh, I think he's like maybe partially blind or something. And so we took him to the vet for his checkup, and we asked the vet, we're like, can you take care of, like, is there an eye test for a dog?
Mm-hmm.
How do you do that? Like, you can't get him up on the machine and be like, what's better, one or two? that doesn't work. So he's like, no, there's an eye test for dogs. We're like, great. Do we have to go to a specialist or, you know, set up an appointment? He's like, no, I think I can do it right now. Here's an eye test for a dog, if you don't know. He just reached back, the dog's on the exam table, he just grabs a handful of cotton balls
all right
and just wings them at my dog's face. And my dog just flinched. And he's like, oh, he's fine. That's the dog test. That's the eye test for dogs. I'm going to be an eye doctor for dogs. I'm going to set up a shop in Rittenhouse and charge $500 to rich people to get their schnauzers in and be like, yeah, he's 20-20. He's fine.
Oh, God.
And I'm never getting an eye test again. I'm never going to the eye doctor again. Every 6 months, I'm just getting my friend with a playground ball. Just have a kickball and just whip it at me from 20 feet. I'm like, oh, no, I'm good. All right. I'm all right. I can be a fighter pilot.
Well, it's about, you know, that would be your fourth career then, you know, dog eye doctor.
Yeah.
All right. You've been a comedy writer.
Yes.
Stand-up comedian. All right, and a teacher.
Teacher at the same time.
Speaking of teaching, I'm sort of curious, what subject did you teach? Did you teach a particular subject?
I was fourth grade. A little bit of everything. Okay, I was just all over the place.
So you had to cover math, you had to cover social studies, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Do you know any songs about the states?
I used to.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to think. I used to know the Capitol songs. Uh-huh. I would sing a song about all the Capitols. It was so much fun. Yeah.
Because some of your students called in this morning to ask you to sing the state's Capitol song.
Did they really?
I swear to God.
Oh, that's so funny. Well, okay. So I wrote a song. Uh-huh. I forgot about this. I wrote a song for all of the states. Because there's some out there. And I did it for like a grad school project.
Uh-huh.
And I forgot about this. But I think I sang it. It was the 12 Days of Christmas. Because it was around Christmas.
Right.
And we did all the state capitals of the Southeast.
Right.
So it was like Florida, Mississippi and all. And I wish I knew it. But it's out there. So guys, there's a track out there. I think it's going to be the Chip Chantry Lost track. So thank you. I hope they remember the states. And by the way, they should buy my album too if they're listening too.
You're going to record a new album.
I am recording a new album in August.
Right,
yeah, right, Helium. Right. August 29th. Yeah.
And speaking of Helium, you're at Helium next week.
Next week
with John Heffron.
John Heffron, who's hysterical.
Oh, yeah.
We were together in Portland last year. He's great.
He's the best.
Yeah.
He really is the best. Right?
Yeah.
Well, he worked in radio for a long time. That's why he's a great comic.
See, he's got the voice. That's what it is.
I don't think it's the voice. I think it's the time.
The voice and the time. You got both, John.
Yeah. Chip Chantry is appearing tonight for one show at the Doylestown Comedy Club. And as I said, if you want to get tickets, you gotta reserve them. And you do that by emailing office@comedycabaret.com. Thank you so much for coming in today. And say the best to your dog for me. It's Stanley. And throw a couple of cotton balls at him for me.
Thank you. And remember, the capital of Florida is Tallahassee.
Thank you very much. Wow, you would have thought it was Miami.
The John DeBella Podcast.
102.9
MGK.